Good morning and happy Easter. It is great to be with you in your homes this morning. Just have a few announcements for you today that we'd like to run through with you so you kind of know what's going on and take advantage of a few opportunities that are out there for you. First off, Sight and Sound is making available for this weekend their Jesus presentation, and that is available on their website. If you go to their website, you can click on the link for the Easter download, and you can watch their Jesus play for free. It's a phenomenal play. I saw it in person once. I highly recommend that you go check that out. It'll also be showing on Saturday afternoon, I apologize, at 1 p.m. on TBN. So if you don't have internet access, you can see that on TBN on Saturday at 1 p.m. Next, we'd like to make you aware also that there is a Passover Seder that is available that you can view online as well. That link is included in the weekly emails and also, I think, up on Facebook. So if you would check it out there, you can check out that Seder. We were going to have Israel Cohen come in and do a Seder for us here in-house and show us the Passover meal that Jesus would have been celebrating with his disciples the night before he was betrayed. And so it'd just be a neat thing for you to take a look at and watch. It's about a half an hour long, and just see all the symbolism that is in there of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and how the Passover points to him as the coming sacrifice.
Well, good morning, and thank you for tuning in and joining us here for our Easter celebration. You know, Jesus Christ is alive. He is risen. He is risen indeed. And for us as believers, this should be really the most exciting, most joyful day out of the year, because we can celebrate that we too can have a hope because of what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross, that we too will have victory over death one day. And so just exciting to even though with the quarantine and everything going on, it seems a little crazy, we can still celebrate because the church really isn't a building. I think we know that. It's not the building. It's the body of believers. And so as you're watching this, know that there's other believers from our church that are watching it at the same time, celebrating this Easter Sunday. But I wanted to start off this morning and sing a children's song. So if you have children that are running around right now, maybe grab them, get them to the screen, and we're going to sing Jesus Loves the Little Children. Now, this version is going to be slightly different. It's going to, instead of red and yellow, black and white, we're going to sing Shades of Brown from Dark to Light. It was something that the children were taught last year during Vacation Bible School. And so you can sing along with this song, and maybe you'll learn a new song as well this morning with a little different version. Let's sing Jesus Loves the Little Children.
For Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Shades of brown from dark to light, all are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Jesus died for all the children, all the children of the world. Shades of brown from dark to light, all are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Jesus rose for all the children, all the children of the world. Shades of brown from dark to light, all are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Jesus lives for all the children, all the children of the world. Shades of brown from dark to light, all are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world.
And you know, it wouldn't be Easter Sunday if we didn't sing some of our favorite songs for Easter. And so what I think about is He Lives, and then also we're going to sing Lo in the Grave, Christ Arose. So let's start off with He Lives.
My serve a risen Savior, He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives within my heart. In all the world around me, I see his loving care. And though my heart is dreary, I never will despair. I know that he is leading through all the stormy blasts. The day of his appearing will come at last. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives within my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives within my heart.
I think one of our other favorite songs, at least one of my favorite songs when it comes to Easter, is this song, Christ Arose, Hallelujah, Christ Arose. Let's sing this one together.
Lo, in the grave he lay, Jesus, my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with the saints to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Vainly they watch his bed, Jesus my Savior. Vainly they seal the dead, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with the saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Death cannot keep his prey, Jesus my Savior. He tore the bars away, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with the saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose.
And you know, even though I can't hear you singing, as this is being pre-recorded in my mind, I'm just imagining what this would have sounded like on Easter morning if we all would have been gathered here to sing together to Jesus and sing about what he's done for us. One more song before we go to a message from Pastor Chan, and this is a song called Come Behold the Wondrous Mystery. We've sung it many times here, and I just think it is just truly a mystery that Christ, the spotless Lamb, would die for my sins and for your sins, for the sins of all those who would believe in him. Let's sing this one together.
Come behold the wondrous mystery in the dawning of the King. He, the theme of heaven's praises, robed in frail humanity. In our longing, in our darkness, now the light of life has come. Look to Christ who condescended, took on flesh to ransom us. Behold the wondrous mystery, he the perfect Son of Man, in his living, in his suffering, never trace nor stain of sin. See the true and better Adam come to save the hell-bound man. Christ the great and sure fulfillment of the law, in him we stand. And come behold the wondrous mystery, Christ the Lord upon the tree. In the stead of ruined sinners hangs the Lamb in victory. See the price of our redemption, see the Father's plan unfold, bringing many sons to glory, grace unmeasured, love untold. And come behold the wondrous mystery, slain by death God of life, but the grave could e'er restrain him. Praise the Lord, he is alive. What a foretaste of deliverance, how unwavering our hope. Christ in power resurrected, as we will be when he comes. Oh, what a foretaste of deliverance. Christ in power resurrected, as we will be when he comes.
All righty, let's go ahead and open up our Bibles to Luke chapter 24. For today's scripture reading, it's going to be Luke 24. Verse 13 through 30. So Luke chapter 24, verse 13. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all the things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word, before God and all the people. And how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified. But we had hoped that he would be the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things have happened. Moreover, Some women from our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Some of these who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. But he himself they did not see. He said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? Beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things that happened concerning himself. So they drew near the village to which they were going. He acted as if he was going, if he were going further, but they urged him strongly, saying, Stay with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is now far spent. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them.
He is risen. He is risen indeed. It is Easter Sunday morning, and we are thrilled that you are able to worship with us this morning, and just so excited to be able to celebrate the resurrection of Christ, even in the midst of all of the chaos and in the midst of all of the changing of adjustments to what we're doing to try to bring worship service to you. I pray that this is a time that you will really be encouraged and really be blessed. I'd like to lead us in prayer and then take you into the message for this morning. So join me in a word of prayer if you would. Father, we rejoice in the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We know that it has been a difficult month that we have been through as a church family and even as individuals. And so we commit to you those who are struggling, but we recognize that many times, even in the midst of the struggle, it causes us just to pause and to reflect on who you are, of your greatness, of your faithfulness, and of your provision. And so we would love to do that this morning in the time that we have together, just to remember how incredibly faithful you have been to us as a people. We know that many of our church family are going through some really challenging times, and so we do commit them to you with their individual circumstances. We pray especially, Father, for our missionaries that are scattered through the world, being caught up in quarantines and restrictions in the countries that they're serving in. I pray, Father, that you would use this to open the door for the gospel in ways that has never before been even possible. I pray especially, Father, for those in the land of Vanuatu who are recovering also from this typhoon and this hurricane that has just crashed into the shores in the midst of all of their quarantines and the other things that are going on. I pray, Father, that you will provide for them miraculously in the needs that they have. As we go to the Word this morning, I pray that you would remind us of the power of the resurrection, the transformation that that can bring to our hearts and can bring to our lives. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. We've all had bad days from time to time, but I don't know that any of us have had a really bad day. When we look back over the last month or so of our lives, we could probably put a string of bad days together and share with others of some of the war stories that we've been through as we have been making all of these adjustments to our life. But if you think you have had a bad day, listen to the story about this man. This individual was living in a city on the top of this hill, and he was trying to tune up his motorcycle. So he set it up on a jack stand on his patio, and he started it up. He's tuning up the carburetor as it's on the jack stand. He puts it in gear. He revs the motor. He's hanging onto the handlebars. It vibrates. It slips off the jack stand, goes straight through his patio door into his living room, spills over in the living room, and crashes on him. He is all cut up. His wife comes racing into the room, discovers what has happened, and calls the ambulance. She gets the ambulance crew there. She runs down several flights of stairs outside to the street and meets the ambulance crew. They come up. They take this man to the hospital. And while he is in the hospital getting patched up, she runs home to see what kind of damage has been done to their apartment. When she gets home, she finds that as the motorcycle has spilled into the living living room and tipped over that there's gasoline that has soaked into the carpet. And so she gets paper towels and she does everything she can to get the gasoline out of the carpet. And she wads up the paper towels, throws them into the toilet, and closes the lid. Races back to the hospital to pick up her husband, who now has several stitches and has been patched up from his accident. When they return home, he makes his way in through the broken glass doors and looks at the damage that's been done in his living room. He looks at his motorcycle that is still laying there, and he realizes that there's just all of this work that's going to need to be done. He's a bit despondent, so he goes into the bathroom, opens the lid, sits down, lights a cigarette, and smokes his cigarette. When he's finished with his cigarette, he drops it into the bowl, and there's another loud crash, and he is thrown off from the bowl onto the floor. His wife hears what has happened. She comes racing into the bathroom, finds him with his trousers blown off, laying on the floor. So she picks up the phone, calls the ambulance as quick as she can. As fate would have it, the same ambulance crew responded as responded several hours earlier. When the ambulance crew arrives at the house, she meets them at the street. They take the stretcher up, load the man onto the stretcher. They're going back down the stairs, and one of the paramedics looks at the wife and says, "How in the world did he get these burns all over his backside and down the back of his legs?" She proceeds to tell the story of what happened to him, and the paramedics break into this hilarious laughter. They lose their balance. He slips off the stretcher, tumbles down two flights of stairs, and breaks his ankle. So you think you've had a bad day? Well, you haven't compared to this guy. You know, life is full of bad days. And as we go to the text here in the Gospel of Luke and consider these two men who are on their journey home after the Passover, we find that their life is filled with disappointment. You know, our lives are filled with disappointments. Shattered hopes, unmet goals, unfulfilled dreams. You know, imagine for a moment that as a young man you've been planning for months a proposal and you set out this proposal and you present the ring and she looks at you and says, "No, I'm not ready." Or this is one that hangs on in my life. It's been hanging on since the 90s. Your favorite football team goes to the Super Bowl 4 years in a row and every year comes away empty. Or what if you get a late night phone call from the police saying that they have your son down and he's been arrested? Or maybe more recent history, you're looking at your retirement account and you're seeing how the stock market has been on such a downward spiral. Or you get news from a close friend or a close relative that they have been diagnosed with the virus and they've been put on a ventilator, and you're looking at all of these things and life is just crumbling in front of your face. You're trying to figure it out. As you look at this account of these men on the road to Emmaus, you find that they're coming off from a Passover weekend, which was supposed to be a celebration to remember the deliverance from Egypt and the anticipation of the coming of the promised Messiah. It was to be a joyous time. It was to be a time of incredible celebration. For many, though, this year it was different. This observance was different. They were convinced that Jesus was the Christ. But then he was taken to the cross. Then he was crucified, and their hope was crushed by the iron fist of the Roman Empire. Later that same day, the first day of the week, these two men began the longest journey of their life. It was only 7 miles in distance, but it took an eternity for them. They were walking away from their hope. They were walking away from their promises. They were walking away from the anticipation and the expectation that Jesus is the Christ, that he is the Messiah. The bottom of the world had fallen out, and the one they hoped to be their Redeemer and their Savior, as far as they knew, was still lying in a cold, dark tomb in Jerusalem. This journey, however, changed their lives. It was a journey of discovery. It was a journey which transformed their disappointment into delight and their remorse into rejoicing. It was a journey in search of truth, one in which the one who is the truth revealed himself to them. I'd like to break the journey into three parts as we consider it, as we look at what took place on that day. The first is a review. It's a review of the facts, a review of the things that these men knew and how those facts turned into disappointment in their lives. If you pick up your text with me in Luke chapter 24, in verses 14 and 15, you find that these men are on a journey. In fact, pick it up in verse 13. It says, that very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus. It was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. Verse 14, and they were talking with each other about all the things that had happened. And while they talked and discussed together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And so they're on their way back. They're making this journey back. They're talking about all of the things that had happened. They're conversing together. They're reasoning together. And just as a detective would try to piece together a crime, they're trying to put together the details of the events surrounding the life of Christ, the ministry of Christ, the crucifixion of Christ. And each time, the evidence that they are reviewing is contradicting the hope that they had. They had heard the claims of Christ. They'd been witnesses of his miracles. And from that alone, the conclusion was Jesus must be the Messiah. He must be the one that we've been waiting for. But then, in the midst of all of this, is the cross. The horrible death that Jesus died. The reality of the cross impressed such an image of finality in the minds of these two disciples that their hope had vanished. It was stripped away from them. And as they were walking along, the text tells us that Jesus slipped in and joined with them. Their eyes were restrained. They did not recognize him. It says in verse 16 that their eyes were kept from recognizing who Jesus was. But in verse 17, Jesus brings a pressing question to them. Jesus looked at them and he said, "What is this conversation that you're holding with each other as you walk?" It must be pretty bad news. Jesus is looking at them. Their countenance has fallen. The way that they walk, the expression on their faces, it gave the conclusion of their investigation. And they're surprised in their voice. They're trying to figure out how this one who is obviously coming from the city of Jerusalem on the same road that they are on, how this one does not know what has taken place in the city. In verse 18, then one of them named Cleopas, he answered Jesus and he said, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And now they review for Christ the events as they know them. Pick it up with me in verse 19. And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed, mighty in word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since all of these things had happened. Moreover," in verse 22, "some women of our company, they amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying they had seen even a vision of angels who said he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it as the women had said, but him they did not see." So they were reviewing these events for Jesus. They still believed. They still loved him, but their hope had been shattered by what had taken place on the cross. They were hoping that it was true that he was risen, but they had no evidence to put with that. And they said, besides all of this, it's the third day. And Jesus has claimed to his closest followers that he was going to rise again on the third day, but there was no evidence other than what the women had said coming from the tomb. And the claim was beyond what they could believe. Their hope had been shattered. The image of the cross was so fresh in their minds. Even though his body was gone, no one, as far as they knew, had seen him alive. Crushed hopes, shattered dreams. Life had become a confused, empty existence. There was really nowhere to go from here. That takes us to the second stage. The stage in which Jesus reveals himself to the disciples for who he is. Christ, who still had hidden his identity and not revealed it, now changes the course of their journey from hopeless despair to the discovery of truth. He addresses them with two phrases. I want you to notice these from the text. First one is, he calls them foolish ones in verse 25. He said to them, "Oh, foolish ones, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken." He's not necessarily calling them fools, because they don't have a lack of knowledge. But what they have is a lack of understanding. And then he calls them slow of heart to believe. And that's not because of a lack of information, but rather because of a lack of faith. You know, and the same is true of so many of us today. There are many, they do not reject Christ because of a lack of knowledge. In fact, there are many who study the Scriptures. They study all that has taken place and they still reject Him. It's not a lack of knowledge. It's not a lack of truth. But what it is a refusal to believe the truth. It's a lack of faith. There are three ways that Jesus revealed Himself to them to confront them with the truth. If you pick up with me in verse 25, the first thing that Jesus does is He reviews some prophetic passages with them. And He said to them in verse 25, "O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that Christ should suffer these things and enter into glory?" And it says in verse 27, "Beginning with Moses and all the prophets, He interpreted to them in all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself." The first thing Jesus did was to take them back to the Old Testament, into the Scriptures. Scriptures that they likely knew very, very well. And He expounded on the truth that was there. He led them on a journey of discovery to really figure out who He is. The Old Testament was written several hundred years prior to the time of Christ. It was written by dozens of men, dozens of prophets, who recorded not only history, but also recorded prophecy, things that were to come. There are literally hundreds of references in the Old Testament to the coming Messiah and the details and events of His life. From the genealogies to the times and places of His birth to prophecies about His life and His ministry with such detail that they could not happen by chance. Even the details of His death, of His burial and His resurrection are given with so much detail. His betrayal, the price of His betrayal, the torment that He endured, the means of death by which He would be crucified, the tomb that He was to be laid in. And so as Jesus walked along this journey with these men, they received perhaps the greatest Sunday school lesson that ever has been taught. Through one prophecy after another of the Messiah's first coming, His first advent, and then how each of them was accurately fulfilled with precision. The second thing that Jesus did to reveal Himself to them was by revealing who He really was, His presence. The one they thought to be a stranger has now become a friend. He is patient, kind. His compassionate nature began to renew their hope, began to destroy their doubt. But for them, prophecy was only a portion of the proof that He was bringing. So they invited Him to their home to dine with them, to spend the evening with them. And so they sat to eat. Christ took the bread. He blessed it. He broke it. And He offered it. And the Scriptures tell us that His eyes were open. Pick up with me in verse 28 as we follow down through. It says, "So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He," Jesus, "acted as if He were going further. But they urged Him strongly, saying, 'Well, stay with us, for it is toward evening and the day is now far spent.' So He went in to stay with them. And when He was at the table with them, He took the bread. Then He blessed it and broke it, and He gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and He recognized Him. And then He vanished from their sight." What do you think it was that caused them to identify Him, to recognize who He truly was? They'd listened to the prophecies. They'd heard His voice, perhaps for as much as a few miles hiking up the road. But as He sat down and opened up the table with them, and He broke the bread and He offered it to them, was it the way He broke the bread? Was it the words that He spoke? Did they see the scars on His hands when He offered them a piece of the bread? Was it the prayer that He prayed that opened their eyes? Was it his smile? Was it simply the way that he spoke? But we're told that their eyes were opened. And at that point, at that instant, they recognized him and they knew him. You know, at some point in time, every child of God comes to the point of recognition where his eyes are opened and they come to know who Jesus truly is. What about you? Have you come to that point in your life? Maybe you've studied the Old Testament. Maybe you've studied the prophecies. Maybe you've read through the Gospels and you've seen all of these things about the life of Jesus. Have you come to the point, though, of recognition where you truly identify him for who he is? The third way he chose to reveal himself was through proof. There was prophecy and there was his presence. But now there's further proof. Pick up in verse 31 at the end of the verse. It says, their eyes were open and they recognized him. Notice what happens next. And he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, oh, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? Christ, sitting at the table one instant, in the next instant, he is gone. He's in his glorified, resurrected body, and he vanishes from their sight. And now they look at each other. The pieces are starting to fit together. They're beginning to recognize what has happened, and it's all starting to make sense to them. The empty tomb, the report from the ladies at the tomb, the mysterious reports of all of the conversation that was going on among the disciples, the emptiness and the hopelessness are now replaced with joy, replaced with rejoicing. What was earlier the longest journey now transforms into a 7-mile sprint back to the city of Jerusalem as they return to give evidence and to give report of the things that they had seen. Pick up with me in the text again in verse 33. And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon. Then they told what happened to them on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. So Christ is alive. And the conversation begins to go back and forth between the disciples, between these two men from the road to Emmaus. Pick up with me again in verse 36. As they were talking about these things, Jesus himself, he stood among them and he said to them, peace to you. And they were startled and they were frightened and thought they saw a spirit. And he said to them, why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands, my feet. That it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have. And when he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, have you anything here to eat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it, and he ate it before them. So here's the proof. Jesus says, look at me, look at my hands, look at my feet. I am true flesh and bones. Touch me and feed me. I'm not a vision. I'm not a ghost. I'm not a spirit. I'm the resurrected Christ. He opened their understanding. And he said to them in verse 44, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then, in verse 45, he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations. The third thing I'd like to look at, the third stage I'd like to look at, is what was the responsibility of the disciples? What was the responsibility of the apostles? Or what is our responsibility at this point? The very first response of these two travelers, when they were able to figure out who Jesus truly is, they dropped everything and they ran 7 miles back to Jerusalem to find the other disciples. As soon as they came in to where the other disciples were, they began recounting to them all of the details of the things that they had heard and seen and experienced on the path and at their dinner table that evening. The commission that Christ gives us as well is, as soon as you see and as soon as you know and as soon as you understand, you must go and share that. Go and tell others. The message that Christ wants us to tell is the message of repentance. It's a message of the forgiveness of sins. He says in verse 46, 47, 48, in fact, in verse 47, he says, "And that repentance and the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem." Every one of us is on a similar journey. It's a long journey. It's a journey of searching. It's a journey of discovering. For those of us who know Christ, someone has helped us to know Christ. Someone has taught us, helped us to learn, helped us to understand, helped us to grow. But now you have a responsibility. You have a responsibility to be a witness of the truth that you have learned. Some of you, though, you may still be struggling. You may still be searching, trying to put together the pieces. Well, he is risen. The scriptures promise us that if you seek him, you will find him, if you will seek with him with your whole heart. And so I would encourage you, do a self-assessment right now. Where are you in the journey? Are you like those disciples just leaving the city of Jerusalem in despair? The worst day ever? The Savior that you had been following is now in the cold grave as far as you know. No more hope. Or maybe you are similar to those two when Jesus came alongside them on the path. And you're laying out the evidence of what you've seen and what you know, but it's not all fitting together quite yet. And you have somebody that's willing to come alongside you and to show you and to teach you so that you can understand how the pieces begin to fit together. Or maybe you're like those disciples at the table. And all of a sudden, your understanding is coming together. And that understanding is being embraced by faith. And you're putting it together in such a way that you have recognized who Jesus Christ truly is. And now you're at a point of saying, I believe. I believe. Well, the message that Jesus wants you to understand is a message of repentance. And a message of a forgiveness of sins. And a message of a renewed relationship with him. Repentance is simply turning away from your sin and turning toward God. Confessing that you know that you have sinned and that you know that you need a Savior. And acknowledging that before God and recognizing him as the Savior that he is. Believing in him, accepting him, and trusting him. And as your sins are forgiven, then you have a responsibility to take that message that you have heard, that you have learned, that you have embraced by faith and to share it with others. This Easter is unique from any other Easter I have ever experienced in my life. I don't know that there has been an Easter since I was a small child where I wasn't in church. And so as we look at and we consider all that has taken place in our lives, don't see it merely as a crisis. See it as an opportunity. An opportunity for you as moms and dads and parents to sit down with your children and talk through the evidence of the resurrection. Opportunity for you over the back fence to speak with your neighbors and to share with them the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ. An opportunity to renew your prayer life and to spend time on your knees before God in thanksgiving and praise for the resurrected Christ. An opportunity to be renewed in your own faith, in your own study of the scriptures, in your own walk with Christ. It is so easy to look at all that has happened and talk about the dreadful circumstances that we find ourselves in. But if all we are seeing is the dreadful circumstances and we're not looking at the opportunities, we may very well be missing what God is hoping to accomplish in our lives, in our families, in our marriages, in our homes, even in our church, our community, in our nation, and across the world. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the cross of Jesus Christ. But equally so, thank you for the empty grave. Thank you for the resurrection of Jesus Christ, for the hope and the promise of life. And as we are renewed in this, may we also be renewed in our devotion, in our quest to understand, but also in the deepening of our faith. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, I trust that you've been encouraged and that you've been built up and that you are joyful in your soul this morning. And want to just close out our time this morning with a song. This is a song we sang last year for Easter, and it's Hallelujah for the Cross. And because of the cross, because of Christ being raised from the dead, we have no fear in death. There is no sting in death. We have victory in the end. So let's sing this song together. Up to the hill of Calvary, my Savior went courageously, and there he bled and died for me. Hallelujah for the cross. And on that day the world was changed, a final perfect lamb was slain. Let earth and heaven now proclaim, hallelujah for the cross. Hallelujah for the war he fought. Love has won, death has lost. Hallelujah for the souls he bought. Hallelujah for the cross. What good I've done could never save, my debt too great for deeds to pay. But God, my Savior, made a way. Hallelujah for the cross. A slave to sin, my life was bound, but all my chains fell to the ground. When Jesus' blood came flowing down, hallelujah for the cross. Hallelujah for the war he fought. Love has won, death has lost. Hallelujah for the souls he bought. Hallelujah for the cross. And when I breathe my final breath, I'll have no need to fear that rest. This hope will guide me into death. Hallelujah for the cross. Hallelujah for the war he fought. Love has won, death has lost. Hallelujah for the souls he bought. Hallelujah for the cross. Hallelujah for the war he fought. Love has won, death has lost. Hallelujah for the souls he bought. Hallelujah for the cross. Hallelujah for the cross. Hallelujah for the cross. Amen. Have a wonderful Easter Sunday. And Jesus Christ is risen. Let's celebrate. Amen.